Yo, what is up, everybody? This is your Italian God, and I'm joined by our
Our new WWE pay-per-view champion, Le Champion. Not gonna say anything? Not gonna congratulate your new champion? Just gonna stay
what?
silent? Is that it? You're not gonna show me respect?
I'm clapping for
Respect I
you.
deserve?
Clapping for you. You know, why be champion when you can be a god? You can hold on to that title for as long as you think you want,
Hey,
but
look, you're a co-champion, okay? I'd rather be an actual champion than just a co-champion.
well, you can hold on to that title until July 2nd. Keep it nice and clean and, make sure it's all good and
Hey,
ready.
look, you keep pretending that I'm gonna give up this title. Keep pretending. It's all
Well, I'm
right.
not saying you're going to give it up. You're just going to lose it.
Oh, yeah, you think you could actually take it out from underneath? Not gonna happen.
I like how Dan is getting all like dirty with his friggin' you can't get it all underneath. Okay, Dan, get a little bit
The one
out.
who's trying to take my title, and I'm not just gonna stand by and let it happen.
Well, we'll see. I mean, listen, this is your how many times have you been champion at this point?
See, I held it for a few months, then I lost it at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So, guess this is my
The
second
granddaddy
attempt
of them
today. I
all.
can actually hold it out of a pay-per-view, unlike someone over here.
Well, we'll get there because we'll see that luck will run out at Money in the Bank when they are Las Vegas.
Sure.
So we'll get there, brother. So hold on. Listen, I will acknowledge you as champion because I'm a man unlike you. You couldn't acknowledge me.
Oh, I did, but I don't need to anymore because I'm a champion now.
Well, congratulations. Hold on to it. Keep it nice. And when I want it, I'm coming back. But I'll let you hold on to it for a little bit. You deserve it for a bit. But just remember, when I want that title
Hey,
back.
look, I am your WWE pay-per-view champion, and pretty soon I might be coming for that AEW pay-per-view championship too. Both of you better watch out. You too, Enigma.
Well, Enigma and I already have something planned out, so you'll just have to wait and
Do
see for that
you?
if you try to jump on that All Elite Wrestling bandwagon. But
We'll see.
you are the WWE pay-per-view champion. Congratulations. And the reason why the champion is a champion is because WWE Hell in a Cell took place last Sunday on pay-per-view. It's been a while. There's been a lot of stuff going on in our personal lives, just work and stuff like that. But we are back and ready to keep it going. Keep it going. Keep it going. Keep it going. And Hell in a Cell was live in Chicago, Illinois. And the first match of the night was for the Raw Women's title, a triple threat match. The Raw Women's champion, Bianca Belair, defending against Asuka and Becky Lynch. And this was a great, amazing match. Here are some play-by-play notes. Bianca Belair and Asuka take out Becky Lynch's start. Becky Lynch pulls Asuka out of the ring, and Bianca Belair drops Becky Lynch off the top rope. Bianca Belair dropkicks Becky Lynch, and Asuka uses Bianca Belair's back to launch and dropkick Becky Lynch as well. Asuka kicks at both Becky and Bianca. Asuka with a hip attack to Becky, and Bianca goes for the KOD. However, Asuka counters it into an arm bar. That's when Bianca lifts up Asuka and tosses her into the ring post. Becky drops Asuka down onto Bianca. Bianca shoulders Asuka off the apron, and then Lynch nails a slingshot leg drop to Bianca Belair and gets a two count. There's a Bexploder to Bianca, and Becky nails a baseball slide to Asuka. Becky hits a flying leg drop to Bianca, and Asuka with a baseball kick to Becky Lynch, getting a two count. Asuka nails many spinning forearms to Becky and nails a German in a hip attack and gets a two count. Bianca misses a KOD to Becky and nails a delayed suplex instead. Bianca Belair punches both women in the corner, but Becky grabs Bianca's braid and Bianca nails a spine buster. Bianca then glam slams Asuka onto Becky Lynch and nails a springboard moonsault to both women and gets a two count. Bianca goes for a superplex to Becky, but Asuka nails a code breaker to both women. Asuka then pins both women, trying to get the pinfall on both. However, they both kick out. Asuka then applies a double ankle lock on both women, which was something really cool. Becky goes for a disarmer to Bianca. However, Bianca lifts up Becky, lands in the air. Becky nails a crossbody, but Bianca catches Asuka with a missile dropkick. A lot of action, like blah, 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 blah. Becky with a manhandle slam, and then Asuka breaks it up. Asuka kicks Bianca, and then Becky pins Bianca, and Asuka breaks it up again. Asuka nails a German to Becky. Becky applies his armor to Asuka while Asuka's in the ropes. The match comes to an end after Asuka applies the Asuka lock to Becky, and then she kicks Bianca. Bianca sends Asuka face first into the ring post. Becky then hits a manhandle slam to Asuka. However, Bianca tosses Becky out of the ring and pins Asuka to retain her Raw Women's title. And we all got 10 points with that point, with that match, because we all knew Bianca was going to win. Sorry for that. That was a lot of action. The triple threat matches are hard to follow because there's a lot of stuff happening, but it was a very good match. I gave it an A because there's a lot of action, a lot of shit was going on. I think they all looked good. They all pulled off great moves, and it was a good match. It was a great, great opening match to a pay-per-view. What did you think?
It was an all right match. I mean, like you said, there was a lot of action. But, I mean, I'm just not really happy with the winner of it. I wish it was either Asuka or Becky. But, you know, I also want to say one thing.
Yep.
The fact that Bianca pushed Becky out of the ring that, like, to take the pinfall, that seemed like a heelish move to me.
Yeah.
Something might be going on there, but I don't know.
That would be interesting, yep. But we both got 10 points. And, yeah, it was a good match. So, we'll see. Maybe she will turn heel soon. We then get a Roman Reigns promo, which, whatever. We then see Cedric Alexander talking to MVP and Omos backstage. And MVP says that her business is done and it will never come back. Us being associates are done. And then Omos tells Cedric, it's time for you to go. So basically planting seeds here. Our next match is a special handicap match. Omos and MVP against Bobby Lashley. Bobby runs at Omos with punches. But MVP grabs Bobby's legs, allowing Omos to run and splash at Bobby in the corner. MVP attacks Bobby with punches, and then MVP rakes Bobby's eyes and attacks Omos. Bobby takes down Omos and gets hit with a reverse suplex. Omos runs at Bobby in the corner. MVP with a running boot to Bobby's face, sending him outside. Omos runs at Bobby, sending him through the barricade at the timekeeper's area, which was a cool MVP nails a knee to the face of Bobby. Bobby punches Omos off the apron and spears MVP, but Omos hits a double axe handle to Bobby. Cedric then jumps into the ring and Omos tosses him to the outside. Bobby nails a spear to Omos, and then Lashley applies the hurt lock to MVP, and MVP taps out. Bobby Lashley is your winner, and I gave that match a C. We got 0 points because we both thought that Omos and MVP were going to win. But after the match, Lashley grabs a fan's WWE title and holds it up to the camera. So, your thoughts on the match?
I thought it was a little lackluster. I wasn't excited to see it anyways, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
I did like the fact that they put MVP in there, you know, add a little spice to it, but I don't know. It just felt forced.
Yeah. Nonetheless, I mean, this rivalry needs to come to an end at this point. I feel like it's been going on.
I think I know why they had MVP take the tapping out, like taking the loss for it, is because they're going to have another thing almost saying, oh, it wasn't me who tapped out, blah, blah, blah. And I'll probably turn on MVP or something.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
I mean, and Bobby Lashley could be going for the title. He held it up, so you never know with WWE what they're going to do. But yeah, interesting. We then get a promo for Money in the Bank, which is Saturday, July 2nd, 2022. The commentators then talk about Cody Rhodes suffering a pec tear on Monday while preparing Cody then tore the pectoral muscle off the bone. And Cody said that he would still compete tonight. We then get our next match, Ezekiel taking on Kevin Owens. Ezekiel nails a knee to the face of KO and a flying elbow drop and gets a two count. Ezekiel chops Kevin outside and sends Kevin into the apron and announce table. However, Kevin then sends Ezekiel into the ring post. KO hits a DDT and gets a two count, and then Owens kicks away at Ezekiel in the ring. Owens lands a senton and a middle rope moonsault and gets a two. Ezekiel is bleeding now. KO nails a clothesline and chokes Ezekiel in the rope, screaming, "Smile, Elias." Ezekiel then takes control and tosses KO into the ring post, turning Kevin Owens upside down. Ezekiel nails an elbow and Kevin Owens with a really cool turning LDT from the top rope and gets a two count. KO goes for a swanton bomb, but Ezekiel gets his knees up in the air as Kevin lands. Ezekiel punches away at KO in the corner. Then Ezekiel with a splash in the corner. However, he misses a third splash. Ezekiel nails a spine buster and gets a two count. Kevin nails a sit-out powerbomb and gets a two. And then Kevin yells, "You're Elias." Ezekiel with a high knee to Kevin Owens. But Kevin Owens super kicks many times Ezekiel on the top rope. Kevin nails a cannonball in the corner and gets a two count. And then he nails a stunner and gets a three. Kevin Owens is your winner. I gave this match a C. You got 10 points for this because you thought KO was going to win. I got zero because I thought Ezekiel was going to win. I don't understand this. For me, I feel like it's stupid. You have Ezekiel being pushed as a top guy, then you have him lose.
Him being pushed as a top guy.
Not a top guy, but I mean, like, again, wording, U.S. champion, at least a mid-card. Like, you have him, you know, when's the last time Elias was on a pay-per-view? Like, you know, he wasn't really doing anything cool. So you have his big outing, and again, you just show what you think of him, and that's all he's going to be. And I don't believe in his character anymore. The first time he takes on his biggest rival, he loses. Okay.
I mean, if we're being fair here, his biggest rival, Kevin Owens, I also never believed in him. Like, I never believed in this stupid fucking character. Like, really? Oh, I'm Elias's older brother. Or what was it, younger or older? I forget.
I think younger.
All right. Oh, I'm Elias's younger brother. Then where the fuck is Elias? I mean, shit, where are you going with this? That's what I want to know.
I get it. It's dumb, but it's just like, don't push somebody and then the first match they have, like with this character on a pay-per-view, you have them lose. Or not, I mean, the first match because he was on Backlash. I'd
say this at the same time, though. Kevin Owens has been on a not exactly a winning streak per se. So, I mean, I feel like neither one of them really could have taken the pin, but at the same time, if it had to be someone, I saw Kevin Owens would need the win more. That's why I said Kevin Owens.
I get it. I just think if you're going to build somebody, don't make them lose.
You really think they're trying to build him?
I think so, because why would they give him a whole new fucking gimmick? If you're going to change somebody, obviously that's
okay,
why.
Okay, well, when you say, like, the gimmick, like, I'll give you an example. Hurricane Helms. He didn't really go anywhere, but he was the Hurricane before that. I mean, really, whenever
but
someone changed
the gimmick. But, Dan, when I was little, when we all were, when we were around during that time, the Hurricane was popular as fuck.
It was, but that doesn't mean they gave him, like, a world title.
But he fought The Rock. Like, they gave him
out. Yeah, you're right. He did. And, yeah, he was up there. But that doesn't mean that he was, like, at the level he could have been. You know what I mean?
I know, but a lot
of it was by Mr. McMahon. He was praised by Mr. McMahon. They chose him over Roman or something like that, if you remember correctly.
I just think if you're trying, then the whole entire question of why even change Elias? If you're going to have a whole new character and have that character just lose, then why change him to begin with?
I don't know. That's WWE for you. That's just what I'm saying. That doesn't mean that they're going to build him up because they changed his character. They've
it
already
makes no sense.
It doesn't. I agree with you.
Because now, just, like, when I see Elias, I literally, or whatever the fuck his name is, I literally just think that he's going to lose. You don't have somebody.
The last time Elias has won on pay-per-view.
I feel like did he compete at Backlash?
Nope.
Yeah, this, exactly. This is his first pay-per-view outing and he loses. That's a great start for him. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like, it's stupid. Like, it makes no sense. If you're going to make him believable, then you have to at least have him win on a pay-per-view. The Raws don't matter anymore.
I know. I'm just saying what you're saying is they're trying to make him believe. I don't think they are. I think they're just making him a comedy gimmick or something. I don't know.
Like, look at the comedy gimmicks drawn every week, 24/7 title. Vince loves that shit. He puts time into it. He's not obviously like it makes no, like it doesn't make sense.
He needs something on TV, and that's what he figured would work. That doesn't mean we like it. We don't have to like it. As long as Vince likes it, it's gonna happen.
I know. It literally completely makes no sense. It's like now he's like dead in the water. Like, you literally have a guy harass you for pretty much 2 months, and the first time you have a chance to shut him up, you lose clean. Like, it's like, okay, you really are going to really be tough and anyone's going to take you seriously. You know what I'm saying?
No, I know what you're saying, but at the same time, again, I don't think they were going anywhere with this gimmick. That's why he lost clean.
So then don't even put it on a pay-per-view. You're wasting time. You know, like, put something that matters.
100%, but I mean, that's just WWE for you. I mean, I've kind of just grown accustomed to this. I mean, I know I hate it, but it is what it is. I kind of just let it go at this point.
So fucking dumb. Anyways. And I'm not hating on Kevin Owens. I like Kevin Owens, but I just feel like...
You're not hating on anybody. If anybody, you're hating on WWE. And yeah. I agree with you. It's very stupid that they're putting up... If he was supposed to be good, why have him lose? If it's not supposed to be good, why put him on a pay-per-view?
Well, even if he were... Okay, listen. Even if he were to lose by, like, a cheating, then I'd say, okay, that's fine. But it's like you're literally having somebody who is just starting out a new gimmick, a fresh start, lose. That's pretty much showing him where he stands with the company, in my opinion. I'm not saying that you need to win every match, but if you've been gone for months...
What I'm saying is, I'm agreeing with you, even though I may sound like I'm disagreeing with you. Yeah, I do agree. Yeah. I'm just kind of letting you roll off my back. Meanwhile, yeah. You're still kind of complaining about it.
No, I'm appalled by this. It's dumb because I don't really like Elias, but I was feeling this character, this gimmick a little bit just because it's kind of stupid and different. And now it's just like dead on the water for me because I'm just like, okay, now he literally is inconsequential.
Oh, you were upset because you were feeling it, and now because it seems like it's not going anywhere.
No, not that I didn't even think it was going to really go anywhere at all, to be honest with you. My thought is that I like this character more than, I like his moveset more than Elias. I feel like he's doing a lot more in the ring than he did in the past. So I was sort of like, okay, I get into him a little bit. But now that he lost, I'm like, yeah, I can't get into him at all because it's like now I don't like him to begin with. And now he has no momentum. So it's gone. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, and that's why it's stupid that they reinvented the character. If you're going to just have Elias, have him just keep losing. Don't reinvent a new character. Make people think, oh, okay, maybe he'll get a fresh start. Nope. But we'll see. We'll see. I do like Kevin Owens. I am glad he won at least because KO does deserve to be on the card. But I did give this a C. Next, we have a video package on Seth Rollins, which is cool to see. And then have our special six-person tag team match, the Judgment Day, taking on AJ Styles, Finn Balor, and Liv Morgan. All six people brawl to start. AJ and Balor launched Liv onto Rhea Ripley to hit a Hurricane Rana. Rhea Ripley nails a headbutt to Liv and a snap suplex. Rhea nails a delayed suplex to Liv, and then she tosses Liv into the post. AJ's tagged in and wants Edge, but Edge tells Damian Priest to go in instead. AJ nails a dropkick and a Pele kick, and then Balor dropkicks Priest's leg. Edge distracts Balor, allowing Priest to nail Balor from behind. Edge runs and knocks out Balor outside the ring. Priest punches Balor in the corner, and then Edge tosses Balor hard into the post. Edge drops Balor face down to the mat and then gets a two count. Priest clotheslines Balor and then nails a modified backbreaker. Balor hits an overhead kick and AJ takes out Edge and Damian Priest. AJ nails a backbreaker over his knee to Edge. And then Ayles hits a phenomenal forearm to Edge, which was the first time he's ever been able to do that. However, Damian Priest pulls AJ to the outside. Liv hits Rhea with a crucified bomb and gets a two count. Rhea nails a cool suplex to Liv Morgan and gets a two. AJ, Balor, and Liv nail triple dives onto the Judgment Day outside the ring. Balor goes for the coup de grace, but Rhea pulls the ropes, causing Balor to fall. Priest hits a south of heaven to Balor. AJ then nails Priest the phenomenal forearm. Balor hits a sling blade to Edge. Balor climbs, but Rhea stands in his way. And then Edge spears Balor and gets a three count. The Judgment Day wins. We both got 10 points for that. And the rating is a C. However, just so you know, technically, you won by 5 points. Because in this match, you thought that Balor was going to turn heel.
Technically speaking, can be real, because I did say that, but like at the same time, it happened on Raw, not on the pay-per-view.
Well, hello, this isn't the future, sir.
I'm just saying. I mean, yeah, it kind of is. I mean, you said this was last Sunday, as
well,
it was.
Well, still, didn't happen on the pay-per-view. You said it was going to happen that night.
I said it was going to happen, but Okay. Technically it didn't happen on the pay-per-view.
5 points, sir. Five points.
All right. Whatever.
That's all I'm going to say. Five.
All right.
But anyways, what'd you think of this match? I gave it a C. I thought it was a good match. Really nothing great here. And for what happens the next night on Raw, it's kind of strange, but what are your take on the match?
I mean, the match was good. I just feel like if they had Finn Balor do it that night, it could have added such a more impact, you know? And then they could have said, like, oh, yeah, Finn was talking to us, blah, 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 and we think that you're holding us back. I think that could have added a whole new element to that. If the way they actually did it, though, made it feel a little lackluster, you know?
Yeah. I hear you. But I do think they probably wanted to make a surprise for Raw, I feel like.
I guess, yeah. But, I mean, at the same time, You should have done it that night, and then you could have been like, oh, what's going to happen on Raw now? Wildly, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Either way would have been cool. But I hear you. But I feel like back in the day, Raw was a show that you tune in to see and expect crazy shit to happen. So I'm okay with them doing it on Raw. But I do agree that like it sort of made no sense for them to win then the next night, have them do what they did. But we'll get there. So we then see Bobby Lashley walking backstage, and Cedric tells Bobby that MVP and Omos got what they deserved, and it's time I stand on my own 2 feet. And Lashley's like, I agree, but don't ever interfere again. And he shakes Cedric's hand. We then have our special no-holds-barred match, Madcap Moss taking on Happy Corbin. Moss punches Corbin and clotheslines Corbin to the outside. Corbin sends Moss into the stage screen. Moss sends Corbin into the railing and clotheslines Corbin to the outside again. Corbin sends Moss over the announce table, and he tosses a chair at Happy Corbin and tosses Happy Corbin into the steps twice. Corbin clotheslines Moss over the railing and choke slams Moss from the apron into the ring. Corbin attacks Moss with a chair. Moss then is able to drop toe hold Corbin into the chair. Corbin nails a deep six and gets a two. Moss nails Corbin with chair shots to the back and then nails a DDT to Corbin on a chair. Gets a two count. Moss with two shoulders in the corner to Corbin. Corbin sends Moss over the railing outside. Corbin puts a chair across Moss's neck and sends him into a table. Corbin then sits up steps in the corner, but Moss nails a fallaway slam to Corbin into the steps and nails a punchline. Moss then puts a chair across Corbin's neck and Slam steps onto the chair, hurting, injuring Corbin's neck. Moss gets the pin. I gave this match a B. We both got 10 points for that. I thought it was an interesting match. I thought it was, you know, not a lot of great stuff, but it held my attention. What did you think?
It was meh. I don't know. I don't really have much to say about it.
It wasn't terrible, but it wasn't great. It just sort of was what it was, you know?
Yeah. All
right. We now have our WWE US title match. The champion Theory taking on Mustafa Ali. Ali nails a hurricane run and arm drag, and Theory goes to the outside. Ali nails a flying crossbody to Theory outside. Theory sends Ali into the post and punches away at Ali in the ring. Ali climbs up top, but Theory tosses Ali to the outside. Theory nails a fallaway slam and gets a two. Ali nails a spinning heel kick, and Theory then drops Ali across the ropes. Theory with a really close springboard Spanish fly and gets a two count. Ali nails a clothesline and a tornado DET. Theory goes for the four A-town. He goes for A-town down, but Ali applies an STF and Theory grabs the ropes. Ali nails a tilt-a-whirl into a DET and gets a two count. He misses a 450 splash, he being Ali, and then Theory clips Ali's knee and nails an A-town down, and Theory retains the U.S. title. I got 10 points for that, and you got zero because you thought Ali was going to win. This match, I gave it a B. Wasn't amazing, wasn't great, nothing spectacular, but it was better than some of the other ones. What did you think?
I think it could have been better. Yeah. I don't know, just like the pure talent in the ring, it just could have been better than what they put together. But, you know, it wasn't a bad match per se. It's just I feel like it could have done better.
Yeah. Yeah, I was expecting a bit more as well. It was a little underwhelming, but it wasn't terrible. All right, we're here at our main event, the Hell in a Cell match. Seth frickin' Rollins taking on Cody Rhodes. This is the third match in their trilogy. Rollins comes out wearing Dusty's old polka dots to sort of play mind games.
Polka dots, baby. The polka dots.
Cody Rhodes comes out and he shows his arm and everybody is freaking out. Fans are disgusted. Rhodes looks like he's hurt. It's just like a fucking nightmare to see. Dory was freaking out. His arm and body is badly bruised. The match starts and Cody nails a springboard knee and a Cody cutter. He then applies a figure four, but Rollins nails Rhodes' injured shoulder with a kendo stick. Rollins continues attacking Cody's arm, jabbing the stick into the arm, which looked terrible. Seth then tosses Cody into the cell, and he jams a stick into Cody's arm again. Seth scales Cody's face against the cell, and Cody then sends Seth into the cell as well. Cody clotheslines Seth to the outside, and Seth then sends steps into Cody's shoulders. Seth puts on Cody's jacket and has a polka dot weight belt. Seth whips Cody with the belt numerous times, and then he also whips it on Cody's arm, and he gets a two. Seth grabs a table, and the fans chant, "Thank you, Rollins," which was interesting because Cody's out there kicking ass, and the fans were behind him a little bit. Seth then punches back the back of Cody's head, and he goes for a frog splash, but Cody moves, and Seth goes through the table that Seth had set Cody up against. Cody then grabs a bull rope from under the ring and he tosses one side to Seth Rollins and tells him to put on the bull rope. Seth does. Cody drops Seth with the rope. That was cool to see, sort of an homage to his dad. Cody nails a super kick and he nails Seth with the bull rope and he gets a two count. Seth uses the bull rope to pull Cody into the post outside the ring. Cody nails Crossroads and gets a two. Seth again then pulls at Cody's arm and hits a super kick. This is a crazy move. Seth nails a buckle bomb through a table to Cody Rhodes, gets a two count. And remember, he has his pectoral bone torn off his shoulder. Like, it's gone during this. Seth grabs a sledgehammer, and Cody nails a pedigree for the first time to Seth Rollins, which is interesting. Seth nails a curb stomp and gets a two. Seth then hits Crossroads. Cody rolls through and hits one of his own Crossroads. Cody then grabs a sledgehammer. He hits two Crossroads to Seth Rollins, and he doesn't go for a pin. He gets up, grabs a sledgehammer, and he nails Seth with the sledgehammer. Gets the pinfall victory. Cody gets the win. After the match, Cody says, "We're done," and he kisses the ring. I give that match an A plus. You get 10 points for that because you thought Cody was going to win, and I thought Rollins was going to win. I don't care who won. That was a hell of a match. What did you think?
I got to agree. That was a really good match, and I really got to give Cody credit for putting his body through hell to do that, too.
Oh, my God. That was insane. I had never seen something like that before, ever. I had never seen that before. I mean, Mankind, but, like, that was just insane. And the fact that they went on for a long-ass time. I want to see actually. I want to look up really quick the actual, like, time for how long the match was.
I think it was, like, 20-some minutes.
So, yeah, you're probably right. The event was 24 minutes.
I was right. Yeah. Someone's boys.
Crazy. That's, and that was the longest match on the card.
Yep. So,
yeah. So for him to, I thought like when he first came into the Cody Cutter, I thought that was going to be, yeah, that was just going to be a quick match. But then I was like, okay, they're actually really going to do this. So I thought it was a hell of a match. I really thought it was really good. And it was a really good.
It really caught my attention. And I do love how Seth is playing the mind games with wearing the polka dots and everything. I don't know. It went really well together. I'm just a little confused, though. I'm confused on what Seth's going to do now. You know what I mean? Like, if they're really done and Cody's going to be out for a few months, what's Seth going to do now?
We'll have to see.
I mean, he hasn't won in, like, months. Something like that.
Well, that's why I was hoping he was going to win this one, because then at least the storyline could be new, like something different could happen. But now he's kind of like,
I was hoping maybe the Fiend would come back or something.
Me too. But, you know, now it's like an awkward ending to that rivalry. So I guess we'll have to find out tomorrow night on Raw what's next for Seth freaking Rollins, right? I mean, we don't know. Well, everybody, we want to thank you so much for checking out our Hell in a Cell recap. Thank you for, waiting so long. I know it's been a week. There's been a lot going on, but we have a lot of stuff coming your way with the end of June coming up. July 2nd, we have
Money in the Bank.
And then I also know, I don't know the exact date. I mean, SummerSlam is coming up at the end of July, too. That will be SummerSlam. So Money in the Bank is July 2nd. SummerSlam is July 30th. So two pay-per-views. We also have AEW. I think it's Forbidden Door. That would be a great pay-per-view. That's going to be coming out soon. Check out our Raw recaps, SmackDown recaps, AEW recaps. We also have the Attitude Era Years, which we'll be covering soon, and so much more. Broken Skull Sessions. Drew McIntyre will be dropping soon. So be on the lookout for all that stuff. The Champion, thank you for joining me. You are our current
WWE. No problem.
And we will be back soon with our Raw recap. And my man, Macho Man Dan here, is going to be holding on the floor as the WWE pay-per-view champion. How does it feel?
Feels great to have it back, and I'm not losing.
We'll see. All right, everybody, stay safe. Peace in the streets. Talk to y'all soon. Bye.